Praise God. Well, it's good to have everybody here this morning to be in the house of the Lord and feel the presence of the Lord that I feel. Amen. God is good. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. We appreciate you coming to the service this morning. And if you have your Bible and want to share the reading of God's Word with me, I'm going to ask if you turn over to the book of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah chapter 18, and we're going to read from verse 1 through verse number 6. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 through verse number 6. This is a very familiar setting of Scripture. I have no doubt in my mind that if you have been a student of the Word very long, you have read this. You've no doubt heard messages preached on this setting of text. But I so feel in my heart this morning that this is where the Holy Spirit led me this past week. So Jeremiah 18, verse 1 through verse 6. The Word of God says, "And the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." And pay particular attention to verse number 4. "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Personalize that this morning. Think of yourself this morning as being in the potter's hand. God desires to mold us and shape us and make us into the vessel that he desires for us to be. I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. I will ask that you bow your heads and ask that you pray with me for the Lord's anointing and for the Lord to bless the ministry of the word, all right? Father God, we are so thankful today. We are thankful for the opportunity that you have given to us to be in the house of the Lord. And we are thankful this morning, Father, for the presence of your Holy Spirit that we have sensed as we have worshiped and as we have praised, as we have honored your name in worship and in song. We come to the reading of your word, and Lord, I readily confess that in my own ability, I am incapable. In my own ability, I am inadequate. But if you will touch me with your anointing this morning, if you will bless me to be a blessing, and if you will use me as an instrument in your hand to speak your word, Lord, I know that your word will not return void. And I pray this morning that you would give me the unction of the Holy Spirit and give me liberty in the house of God to impart what you have laid upon my heart to bring to this congregation here today. Give us ears to hear, hearts that are open to receive. And Father, for all of these things, we will be forever grateful and we will be forever thankful. And we ask them now in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus, and everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So I want to minister on a subject that I have entitled Slightly Damaged. Slightly Damaged. There is a company out of, I believe it's Peabody, Massachusetts, but there is a company called Christian Book Distributors. And they are a great resource for ministry supplies. They are a great resource for Christian resources, Christian books, pulpit commentaries, and all sorts of Bible software. And down through the years, I have purchased many, many items through CBD. And as a result of those purchases, they send me on a very regular basis their catalog. And they also send me, it just seems like daily, emails in my inbox sharing with me that they probably, you know, they probably purposefully go, hey, send this to Gary White, be sure, and send that to Gary. My wife can attest to that. But every week, seemed like every day I get something in my email. And this past week on Tuesday, I picked up my phone and I happened to glance at the screen, and there on my phone there was a email from Christian Book Distributors. And the subject line of that email said slightly damaged. And immediately the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. Immediately, I mean, I no sooner had read the subject line of that email and the Spirit of the Lord just quickened something down on the inside of me. Christian Book Distributors were advertising a sale on slightly damaged items, on slightly damaged goods, but the Holy Spirit began to speak something else into my heart. We all understand that in the world of retail sales, damaged goods are marked down. In the world of retail sales, damaged materials are discounted and thought to be of lesser value. More often than not, if we are willing to settle for less than perfect, if we are willing to overlook the scratch or the dent, or if we are willing to overlook the flaw, then we can find a bargain. Can you say amen? Amen. Because not everybody is willing to pay top dollar for damaged merchandise. Not everybody wants to settle for an item that has a blemish. Not everybody wants to pay for an item that is flawed or a product that is flawed. My wife and I, a few years ago, we were on our way back from the Oregon coast. And on our way back, we were talking, winter was coming, and, you know, we were talking about cold winter nights, and we decided that we would stop at the Pendleton store in Pendleton, Oregon, and buy us a really nice wool blanket. So we get to the Pendleton store, and we walk in, and there was about two or three people in the outer front part of the store. And I looked around, and for one queen-size blanket, they wanted $300-something. But in the back of the store, there was a much larger area, and they had discounted irregular items. We walked back there, and to be quite honest with you, we looked through the piles of blankets, and you had to look very close to find a flaw. And those blankets were $99. Hello? I said, if you're willing to accept a little imperfection, you can find a deal. My wife and I walked out of there, you know, with three blankets for the price of one that they wanted out front. Because I was willing to say, you know, chances are on a very cold winter's night, I am not going to worry about the variation in color at the bottom of the blanket. And I was right. There hasn't been one winter's night, you know, when I was laying in bed and was awakened with my wife at the foot of the bed with a flashlight looking at the variated color on the bottom of the blanket. It just hadn't happened. Amen. But we are programmed to believe, or programmed by the retail industry, to expect a lower price on something that has been damaged. Maybe you've seen merchants that have advertised what they call a scratch and dent sale. Or possibly you have shopped in a grocery section or a grocery aisle where there were dented canned food items and they had those items marked down. The dented can or the torn label or the color on the label wasn't just right, or it was considered to be somehow slightly imperfect or of lesser value or inferior or substandard or somehow second rate. What I find interesting this morning is if you buy one of those dented cans and then you open it up, the product on the inside is just fine. The corn is still corn. The peaches are still peaches. And in our case, the blanket will still keep you warm. What I'm saying this morning is the can may be dented, but that doesn't affect the content. The label may be torn, but that doesn't ruin the product. The part of the label that was supposed to be bright red and instead turned out light pink, it doesn't spoil what's on the inside. The lettering on the can that was supposed to be horizontal and turned out vertical, it doesn't hurt what's on the inside of the can. But it is considered to be of lesser value because anything less than perfect, because amen, they were slightly damaged, because they were in the salvage aisle or they were in the salvage section of the store, we automatically think that they are worth less or they are of lesser value. And understand this morning that damage can happen at a lot of different stages. Mishandling the product, damage can occur when the product is mishandled. The can was dented during the packaging process. The blanket didn't receive the right amount of dye. Or damage occurred with a shipping issue. It was damaged in transit, or the appliance was damaged at the loading dock and it was scratched and it was, he made the point that the Holy Spirit began to try to make in my heart, and the point that I want you to understand this morning is that we have been programmed to associate the marred and the flawed and the imperfect and the defective as somehow less valuable than the real deal. And that's okay when it comes to a product. But we tend to carry that same mentality from product to people. We tend to carry that same lesser value mentality from product to people. And because somehow people have been damaged, or because there is an imperfection in their character or an imperfection in their life, or they are considered to be of lesser value, we have the tendency to apply that lesser mentality or that lesser value principle when it comes to people. And let me just share with you this morning that the enemy would love nothing more than for us, amen, to believe that because we are flawed or because we are imperfect, then we too must be of lesser value to God. The enemy would love nothing more than for us to have a view of ourselves because of our imperfections and because of our inabilities. The enemy would love nothing more than for us to look at our life and examine our life and say, we must be of lesser value to God. I came to tell somebody this morning that you are valuable to the Lord. In our mind, damaged goods and damaged people somehow rank below, or they rank less. And if we have suffered damage ourselves and we believe the lie of the enemy, then we will begin to think less of ourselves as well. But let me just share a real truth with you this morning. All of us, in one way or another, have been slightly damaged. All of us, at some point or another, have all been damaged. We live with the damage of our mistakes and our failures. Anybody here this morning ever make any mistakes? Anybody here this morning ever cause yourself to fail? And what did the enemy do? He jumped right on your shoulder and he began to point out every opportunity that he could point it out to you that you messed up. And what he's trying to do is to get you to believe that you are not worthy and that you are not valuable to God. I got news for you this morning. You are worthy in Christ Jesus and you are valuable to the Lord. We all live with the damage of our sins and our indiscretions. Amen. Yes, the Lord forgives, but let me just tell you, sometimes it's awful hard for us to forget. I've done some things in my past that I now look back and go, what in the name of God was I thinking? Hello? Anybody? Oh, just me? Dented and dinged up and banged up and damaged up and scratched up. But he still loved me enough to give his life on Calvary that I might be redeemed, that I might be set free. But the enemy won't let me forget it. And every chance that he gets, he is there to point out the fact that I messed up. And we live with the damage of our sins and the damage of our indiscretions. And there are many people in this world and even right here in this auditorium this morning that are living with damaged or hurt feelings, living with the damage from an unhealthy childhood and living with the damage from unhealthy relationships and breakups and divorces and damage from addictions and the damage of cruel words spoken by somebody else that was dealing with their own damage. Amen. They scar our heart and they wound us. The truth of the matter is that we have all been slightly damaged. We have all been slightly damaged. Some of us have some road damage. We got dinged up and scratched up in transit. Amen. I've lived 58 years, and along the line, I got dinged up a couple of times and bruised a couple of times, and some folks said some things that cut me to the heart, and some folk did some things, amen, that cut my heart and cut my spirit. I got some scars, and I got some wounds, but hey! Let me tell you something this morning. It doesn't mean that I'm of lesser value to God. Some of us have experienced some things during our childhood that left some dents and some traumas. And some of us struggle with inherited traits. But the fact of the matter is that in some way, somehow or another, we have all been slightly damaged by the events of life. And whether we are damaged or whether our damage was self-imposed or it was exploited by somebody else, amen, we have all been damaged in some form as we walk this road called life. And you may be thinking to yourself, but Pastor Gary, that's why Jesus came. He came to set us free and he came to give us freedom. And you are absolutely right. He has set us free. He has set us free in his name. But some of us aren't living like we're free. Hello? Some of us aren't living like we're free. Yes, Christ came to bring freedom, and yes, he came to set us free, but too many of God's people are walking around wearing a label that reads slightly damaged. Too many of God's people are walking around with the feeling of being washed up and feeling as if they are a failure. Too many of God's people are walking around focused on their mistakes instead of being focused on their redemption. Too many of God's people are walking around with a damaged heart and focused upon what they've been through and what they came out of. But I came to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ came to bring us out of the salvage aisle and take us into his arms and bring glory and freedom into our life and give us life and that more abundant in him. He came to pull us up out of the damaged section of life. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19 in verse number 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That which was lost, that which was of lesser value. He came to seek and to save it. Luke 9 and verse 56 said, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Glory to God. He didn't come to destroy our life. He didn't come to push us down. He didn't come to put his foot on our neck and rub it in the dirt. He came to lift us up and came to save us. Hey man, we need to get up this morning. I said we need to get up this morning and get out of the salvage aisle. Amen. Get out of the salvage section. We may have been dented on the outside, but just like those cans, there ain't nothing wrong with what's on the inside. Amen. That setback in your life, it didn't affect your DNA. You hear what I'm telling you this morning? You are still a child of the Most High God. You are a son. You are a daughter of the Lord. Amen. That loss, that disappointment, it didn't change who we are. Those mistakes and those failures, it didn't stop our destiny in God. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? We may have been bruised on the outside, but the inside has been made a brand new creation and a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. And the word of God declares, "Behold, all things have become new again." Hallelujah to God. Amen, amen. You don't have to live your life with a salvage label over your heart. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been crowned with favor. We have potential down on the inside. You hear what I'm saying this morning? We've been anointed with the Spirit of the living God. We have been equipped and commissioned to go. Amen. There's nothing wrong with the content. We may have some bruises on the outside, but there ain't nothing wrong with the content. Let me just tell you what God says about you. God said in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse number 17 that there is no weapon that is formed against you that will prosper. He said, "And every tongue that shall rise up in judgment against you, you will condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me." Amen. What does that mean, Pastor Gary? It means I ain't trying to stand before God in my own righteousness. Because my righteousness is as filthy rags. But when I came to Christ and I came to the Lord, he gave me his righteousness and he nailed my unrighteousness to the cross. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Amen. No weapon that is formed against us will be able to prosper. And the Bible said that greater is he that is in you and in me than he that is in the world. Stop running around with a salvage tag on your head and look up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Understand that people cannot keep you from your destiny. Amen. People cannot keep you from your destiny, and bad breaks can't stop you. Weakness can't stop you, and even the devil himself cannot stop you. Why? Because you are not trying to fight this fight on your own. It is not by our might. It is not by our power, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. If you're fighting this battle on your own, step back. Let the Lord out front. He'll take care of your enemies. Hello? I understand that life happens. I understand that people you trusted act up and talk about you. And that's putting it lightly. But let me just tell you, don't allow the damaged label to keep you from becoming God, all that God created you to be. I don't believe in giving anybody a place to feel sorry for themselves. We have too much of that in the world today. You know, mama didn't bake me chocolate chip cookies, and daddy didn't take me fishing, and mama didn't give me this, and daddy wasn't there, and all that kind of mess. Get over it. Get over it. You have two choices. You can wallow in it and let it ruin your life, or you can rise up and yank off the damaged label and let God make of you what God intended for you to be all along. And understand this morning that I'm not trying to be insensitive, because those hurts and those things can hurt our life. But what I'm saying this morning is stop dwelling on it. It's not going to make it any better. And having a poor old me, amen, damaged good mentality is not going to help us. Amen. We've got to take the hand that we were dealt and by God's grace, make the best of it. I could preach that again. I said, we got to take the hand that we were dealt and by God's grace, make the best of it. Amen. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Quit trying to blame somebody else for your troubles. Yank off the damage tag and recognize that you've been made a brand new creature in Christ, and he loves you, and he has a plan for your life, and he wants to bless you and not curse. What I'm saying is, if you get knocked down, get back up again and go. If you've been the recipient of a tough situation, don't sit around in self-pity, but shake it off and start to move forward. Even if you've made a mistake, don't go through life beating yourself up over it. Repent. Amen. Repent and let Christ clean you and let Christ wash you, and then get up and go again and get up. Amen. And do right the next time. Amen. You may have failed, but you're not a failure. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? You may have failed, but you're not a failure. Failure does not have to be fatal. You may have fallen, but you don't have to stay down. You may have lost, but you're not a loser. You may have had unfair things happen in your life, but you're not a victim. Hello? Everybody has had unfair things happen in their life. Somebody say, well, it's not fair. Who told you life was fair? I've had some unfair things happen in my life. I've had some unfair things transpire in my life. Amen. Nobody ever said life was fair. What the Bible does declare is that God loves you and that he is there to help you through. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. You don't have to be bowed down. You don't have to be bound up. You can be free in Christ. Stop dwelling on your past mistakes and stop dwelling on those that hurt you, and stop dwelling on those things that didn't work out, and stop dwelling on every disappointment and stop dwelling on the struggles of every bad break and every bad circumstance, and understand that God is able to make, amen, something great out of your mess. Some of you here this morning, amen, are in a mess. understand God can still make something good of our mess. Sometimes we are focused on the mess and the dysfunction and the broken dream and the weakness. But I got some good news for you this morning. In every mess, God sees an opportunity. In every failure, God sees restoration. You hear what I'm saying this morning? You're looking at the failure and God's looking at the restoration. You're looking at the mess and God's looking at it as an opportunity to do something good in your life. He knows how to take our trouble and turn them into trophies. He knows how to take our cross and turn it into a crown. He knows how to take our test and give us a testimony. He knows how to pull you up out of the valley and set your feet on a mountaintop and put a song of joy in your heart. Let him do it. Hallelujah. You may be in a situation right now in your life where there is dysfunction. You may be in a situation where there is a mess in your family, a mess in your health, a mess in your finances, or a mess in your career, and you don't see how any good can come out of it. But I came to tell you this morning that God still has a plan. God still has a plan. No dysfunction, no injustice, and no disappointment can keep you from your destiny. If God is on your side. And that brings me to my text. Y'all thought I just read that for my own good. So think about what we read. God speaks to Jeremiah. God says, Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And when you get down to the potter's house, I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to show you something. So number one, Jeremiah had to have the faith to get up and go, right? Some of us would have just kind of sat and argued with God. Are you sure about that? I've seen him throw clay before. Whatever. So he arrives at the potter's house. He watches the scene that is before him. And here is the potter at the potter's wheel with the clay on the wheel. And he's molding the clay. And God begins to speak to Jeremiah. Jeremiah says there in that fourth verse, and the vessel that was on the potter's wheel was marred in the hands of the potter. Marred is flawed. Marred is imperfect. He's throwing the clay and he's taking that clay and there is an imperfection in the clay. There is an imperfection. There is a flaw. It's marred. It's broken. But the potter doesn't just throw that clay away. Verse number 4 says that so he made it again, another vessel. The vessel that was made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So we ought to just shout hallelujah on that so. So the potter didn't just throw it away. He said, I'm going to make another vessel. As it seemed good to the potter, and instead of throwing the clay away, instead of putting it in the discount pile, instead of putting it in the salvage aisle, instead of treating it as if it were of lesser value, he says, I'm going to make it another vessel. The passage is a beautiful scripture. It is a picture of God being the potter. God goes on to say in those verses, am I not the potter? O house of Israel, am I not able to take the potter or the clay, just like that potter is taking the clay, and mold it and shape it and make it into what I want to be? It's a picture of God taking our lives and molding us and shaping us. It is a picture of a flawed vessel that God says, I see the imperfections and I see the flaws and I see the weaknesses and I see the things that are in your life that challenge you, but I still have something in mind. I'm not just going to throw you out. You are of no lesser value to me. But I am going to make you yet again another vessel. And so the potter begins to remold and reshape, amen, and remold that clay and make it again another vessel. I came to tell you this morning, we may have been bumped and bruised and scratched and dented and marred and flawed and damaged along life's road, and we may have some imperfections and some weaknesses and some flaws in our life, but if we will just stay pliable in the potter's hand, he will make of our life something beautiful for his glory. Staying pliable is the key. When the clay becomes fired and hot and hard and set in its ways, it's when the potter no longer has the ability to mold it. If we will just stay sensitive to the touch of God's Spirit, stay on the potter's wheel. The potter sometimes can't do anything in our life because we jump on and jump off. Oh, preach on that a while, Pastor Gary. Hello? Well, get on the wheel and stay on the wheel and just see what he'll do. Get on the wheel and stay on the wheel and just see what he can do. Oh, but I'm flawed and I'm marred and I'm scarred. It doesn't matter. He still wants to take your life and make something beautiful of it. God is saying this morning to all of us, I haven't written you off. God is saying to all of us this morning, I haven't given up on you. Thank God. If I were God, I'd have given up on me a long time ago. I have often said, if I were God, I'd have thumbtacked me to the wall a long time ago. But God is saying this morning, I haven't given up on you. I haven't quit on you. Amen. I haven't written you off. You may be down, but you're not out. I still got a plan. God is saying this morning, I haven't written you off. You're not a mistake. You're not a misfit. And I still have a plan for your life. Understand something this morning, that God knew every mistake that you would ever make before you ever made it. And he still came by. The Bible said that God, Jesus said in his word, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. So let me just tell you this morning, he knew every mistake that you were ever going to make, and he still come by and said, I want you on my team. That's enough to make a Nazarene go, glory. Man, do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, I don't care how many flaws you got. My grace is sufficient. I don't care how many problems you got. My grace is enough. I don't care how many, imperfections you got. In your weakness, I'm made strong. I don't care how many flaws and failures you make. If you come to the cross, the blood is enough to cleanse you and make you clean. Amen, amen, amen. God knew every mistake that you were going to make before you ever made it, and he already planned your comeback. Hallelujah. He already planned
your comeback. Jesus came to lift the fallen. He came to restore the broken. He came to show mercy to those that have failed. You may have made some poor choices in life, and you may have gone through some failures, but God is a God of another chance. And the Bible said that when we come to Him and we repent, He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. I like that. I'm the only one that remembers it. And when I come to Him because the devil been browbeating me and pointing out things I've done in the past, God goes, I don't remember that. I don't see that. I see the blood. I see the blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. You may have had a negative past, but that does not mean that you have to endure a negative future. Quit listening to the accusing voices and quit letting people make you feel like you are washed up and quit letting people make you feel like you will never amount to anything and realize that people do not control your destiny. God does. And when God says, I'm going to bless you, there ain't a devil in hell that can keep it from coming to pass. Today is a new day. Take off that damaged label. Get rid of the victim mentality, and God will take what the devil meant for harm and make it your good. The world may look at some of us and consider us to be damaged goods, but God says, just wait and see what I am about to do in their life. Just wait and see what I am about to do in their life. God told me to tell some of you this morning that you are beautiful just as you are. He told me to tell you that you are loved more than you know. He told me to tell you that you are blessed. He told me to tell you that His favor is upon you. He told me to tell you that with Him you are more than enough. He told me to tell you that you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. He told me to tell you to get up and take off the slightly damaged label and live life by the grace of God through His love and through His mercy. Hallelujah. Let me just share with you, and I'm going to hurry up and close. Or they say preachers have three closings. That was my first one, okay? The second one may come in 20 minutes. I don't know. Let me just tell you that the greatest plan that was ever carried out in history was to redeem damaged people. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And the next verse says, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He didn't come to bring condemnation in your life. He come to tell you that you don't belong in the salvage aisle. He come to tell you that you're not inferior and that you're not so imperfect that His grace can't pick you up and cause you to be valuable in His sight and make you another vessel that's beautiful and worthy of honor. Look at the overhead this morning. That vessel that's up there. In the Japanese culture, and I am positive that I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, but it's called kintsukuri. And it means to repair with gold. A vessel has been broken. A vessel has been shattered in pieces. But in the Japanese culture, they will repair that broken vessel with precious metal. They'll repair it with gold. And there is an understanding in their culture that the peace is now more beautiful for having been broken. In their culture, this art form speaks to the past misfortune of the peace. And the past misfortune of that piece of pottery is not concealed. It is highlighted and prominently featured. And the damage is now what makes the piece of pottery more unique and more sacred and more valuable and more special and even more loved than what it was to begin with. What God is saying to us this morning is that God desires to show us how valuable and how precious and how special and how beautiful that He sees us. He wants to come in and mend our broken places. He wants to come in and bind up our wounds. And I promise you, just like that potter taking that vessel on the wheel and that marred, flawed vessel, He creates another vessel. What I'm saying this morning is God wants us to take off the damaged label. Let Him bind up our broken hearts and our broken places, that we might be made a vessel unto honor, ready and useful for the Master. Would you please bow your heads this morning? Let me close by telling you, you are loved. You are precious in God's sight. Some of you here right now, the enemy has been hopping on your shoulder and just trying to condemn you and trying to point out all of your past failures and all of your inabilities and your inferior areas and all of your places where you fail and all of your insecurities and your low self-esteem and all of that mess that only He brings. Because that's not what Christ came to do. He came to give us life. He came to restore. He came to pick us up. He came to pour in the oil and the wine and to mend our broken hearts. You're loved. You're precious in the sight of the Lord. Pull off the slightly damaged tag. Tell the devil to go back to the pit of hell from whence he came. Tell the enemy, I am somebody in Christ. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the King. I am worthy of His grace. He died for me while I was yet a sinner. He loves me with an everlasting love. I will not be defeated. I will not be pressed down. I will not be bound up any longer. I take off that damaged tag and throw it away. I'm going to hop on the potter's wheel. Let Him take my broken places and my broken hearts and my broken, scarred, wounded areas, and I'm going to let Him put it back together with His precious blood. And make something more beautiful and more sacred out of it in His sight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, in Jesus' name, the enemy is called the accuser of the brethren. And You know, as I know in my spirit, there are those even here in this house that the enemy has browbeat and pointed out all of their failures and their faults and their wounded areas. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that You will let us get a proper picture of Your redemptive grace. That You came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, right now in the name of the Lord, we're going to yank off that salvage tag. We're going to take off that slightly damaged tag and receive your grace and receive your mercy and receive your freedom in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, you talk to me this morning." Amen, amen, amen. Amen. God sees hands going up all over the building. Oh, how precious you are in His sight. Moms and dads, think about your little children, grandchildren. When you look at them, your heart just swells with delight. That's the way God looks at you. That's the way God sees you. You say, "But preacher, I've been the prodigal." It doesn't matter. Do you remember the story of the prodigal? When the father saw him coming from afar off, he ran to meet him, smothered him with kisses and said, "Welcome home." That's the way God views you. You are not unsalvageable. You are enough. You are pleasant in His sight. If you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're a child of the King. Understand who you are and what you are in Christ Jesus. Don't let the enemy beat you up. Don't let the enemy make you feel like you are inferior. That you belong in the back room with the other blankets with imperfections. We all have imperfection. But His grace is enough. His grace is sufficient. Hands have been lifted all over the building. Stand to your feet this morning if you will. Lift up your hands right toward heaven and let me pray with those that lift their hand. Father, in Jesus' name, you have seen every hand that was lifted. Lord, you know how the enemy is the accuser of the brethren and how he would like to beat us down. Right now, in Jesus' name, break those chains. Break those chains. I want you just to imagine in your spirit, you are just reaching up and you are pulling off the label. The label says slightly damaged, but just reach up and yank it off. You are not damaged in the Lord. You've been repaired. You've been set free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, touch every heart, touch every life. Minister to every individual in this house. Minister, I pray, to every individual that's listening by way of the internet. Touch their heart. Set them free. In Jesus' mighty name, set them free in the name of the Lord, I pray. And let us leave this place rejoicing in the freedom and the liberty of Christ. In Christ's name I ask. Amen and amen. Come and sing.